Today in our Bibles, we turn to Psalm 16. And as this is God's Word, and it's a means to His ends in our lives, it's that way in which we come to know our Lord Jesus more fully. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on His Word. Our Father in heaven, we come this day to be taught of God, and we pray then that the Holy Spirit would bless His Word to our minds and our hearts, and that it would be so through the reading and the preaching, and help us too in the hearing. And Lord, give us hearts that will want to keep the things and observe the things that we hear. Lord, we remember Mary, who treasured up all the words that were spoken of her Son in her heart. And Lord, as He is our Savior too, Lord, help us by the Spirit of God to remember what we hear, that You would make an impact on our hearts by it, and take away any distraction. Lord, heat up any lukewarmness or coldness of heart, and make for us to see this as what it is, not merely the word of men, but it is the word of God, which is able to do its work in those who believe. And so give and increase faith as we hear Your word today. And may it be that Your Son, our Savior, would receive all the glory and we all the good from His gracious hand. We ask in His name. Amen. Psalm 16. David writes, "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in You. I said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. I have no good besides You.' As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will You allow Your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. In Your right hand there are pleasures forever." And this is God's word that's read to us again today. This past week has seen me looking at my in-laws' property survey. They just bought a house, and it's important for them to know what is theirs and what is not theirs. And you who own property know what I mean. And those of you who don't own property, then perhaps one day you might. I mentioned this survey because in the course of reviewing it, one of the things that we learned is that we thought what we thought was the end of the property is actually the end of the first part of the property and is actually the beginning of the second. To our surprise, we found that there is a whole other equally sized section of trees that constitute the back, could we say, of the property. Without the survey lines drawn out, we would not have seen it as we should have. But thanks to the survey, we now understand things better. In view of David's psalm, "the lines have fallen to me," verse 6, "in pleasant places." That's our verse for consideration. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. We could mention early American surveying under George Washington or the Lewis and Clark team. A further interest could even be the early sketches of them using their tools, which look very much like modern construction crews with the same style tripod. But we want to see today that God is a master surveyor. In one sense, of course, he is no surveyor because he does not need to find or learn of boundaries. He knows them already. Indeed, God knows all the earth because he made it, and he laid out the boundaries of sky and land and water, and even made from one man every nation to live on the face of the earth. And he has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. And so God, as creator of all these lines, is a sort of surveyor, could we say, who tells us about these lines that he's laid down. And so in his divine tool shed, like the ladder for heavenly access, or like the hammer for absolute truth, or like the axe for decisive judgment, these lines for marked boundaries, lines that occasion David to say, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a good heritage. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." But which lines are these? To what do these lines refer? There are various lines in Scripture. For example, the prophet Amos speaks of the plumb line. This would be a perpendicular line that God would suddenly drop into his people. He would be a sort of guillotine force to end Israel's path, suddenly dropping justice in their way. Maybe like a road sign that suddenly falls off and onto a car below that's going his way. Maybe as a U.S. military bunker-busting bomb that goes deep down through caves and holes in the terrain. God in his justice sometimes drops down to our utter shock the plumb line that gets in our way to judge us. But there is also the measuring line. This is the more common line that God uses from his tool shed. It's akin to the measuring rod that's spoken of in Ezekiel and in the book of Revelation, where the temple of Jerusalem is measured for God's purposes of either judgment or comparison or salvation. God uses the measuring rod. The measuring line can also carry the sense of leveling, as Isaiah uses it in chapter 28. A line, of course, is flat, it's straight, it's horizontal. And that, again, is something that God could do in leveling a people, as it were, driving or plowing them or flattening our images that are spoken of in our own language. But the measuring line is the one that's commonly used in the Scripture. And it's used to distinguish people. The measuring line distinguishes, it marks off one from another, as even David did when he, by measuring line, did that for who he would kill and who he would spare when he conquered Moab. God himself stretched over Jerusalem what he calls his line of Samaria when he came to judge the south. Sometimes God uses the measuring line to parcel up lands that he has forsaken in his judgment. But the common use of a measuring line is for marked boundaries of judgment and grace. That's God's line. How wonderful then and grace-filled are David's words over against these ideas. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. God has provided for me a heritage that I find beautiful. Is that something that you can say about your life? Have you ever thought that way? Is that your view of God? Is that how you look at him and see his dealings in the Lord Jesus Christ? And how also do you relate that, say, to trials and troubles in your life? Is it that you say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places? Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. As was for David, so should be more and more for each of us. And so that it may, we want to look at two things from David's words here. The first one is God's measuring. We want to see God's measuring. And having seen God's measuring, secondly, we want to see your marveling. My marveling. God measures so that we would marvel. First then, God's measuring. You can see the idea of God's measuring by that very phrase, the lines have fallen to me. David, the psalmist here, is entirely passive in relation to these lines. In other words, they had fallen to him. David did not place them where they were. David hadn't asked for them to be there. He hadn't worked for them to be where they were. In some cases, David had even done much to undermine where those lines had fallen. And of course, he was totally unworthy of those lines. And yet, God had measured out those lines precisely where he wanted them to be for David's life. David was born and raised in the faith. David was a healthy youth. David had victory over Goliath. He had kingship after Saul. He had the Philistines subjugated unto him, indeed all the territories that surrounded him. David had the love of the people. David had an enduring dynasty of sons. He wrote psalms for worship. He spoke of joy and gladness, even as he did suffering and trial. He had the Lord's help and salvation. He had blessings. He had riches. He had communion with God. And that distinctive title for David, God gave him as a man after God's own heart. The lines had fallen in pleasant places for David. This man had a full measure, could we say, of God's grace. But it's not only David here. Israel sang this song that David wrote. And so all the people of God, all of Israel, received then lines that fell to them quite favorably as well. The measuring line reminds us here of God parceling out the promised land. Remember, to the 12 tribes in the book of Numbers, he promised that land. You can read about it in Joshua when they received that promise fulfilled in all of their territory. You can see that mapped out at the end of your Bible, if you have a Bible with maps in it. It was where God, the good and the wise God, wanted his people to be. You look at that land. Some of those tribes had a large territory. Some of them had small plots of ground. Some had the resources of mountains. Others had streams and rivers. Some were very close in proximity to Jerusalem, where all the center of their national life was. Some of them were far away and would have had to make a journey. But for each of them, these words apply. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. As Psalm 78 would later go on to say at verse 55, he apportioned them for an inheritance by measurement and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. I say that if we're exhorted by the proverb that says, do not move the ancient boundary that your fathers have set, then how much more should we not when God has measured out lines for our inheritance? We should recognize them as they are, and we should respond to God's measurement and say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. But just what are the lines that have fallen to you as God's people? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what are these lines? What is the survey of your inheritance? Well, remember, I guess for starters, that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember that Paul says that all things are yours. It begins with God's own foreknowledge, God's decree of everlasting love in His Son. It then moves on to being created in the image of God. And even though fallen in sin because of Adam's rebellion, yet to be redeemed and forgiven by the blood of Christ and faith in His name. This inheritance that you have as God's people involves being united to Christ by His Spirit in all His saving acts. You've died to sin, you've been buried, but you've been raised and ascended and seated with Christ at the very right hand of God. It moves on for you as part of your inheritance to be conformed daily to the very image of Christ and His glory, one day to share in the very presence of God in a holy eternity without sin and without suffering. And that intimate affection in which God first set His love on you is that which you are going to explore and you're going to worship by and you're going to delight in for all eternity. If you have ears to hear it, that sort of the plot of trees in the back of the property that loom large in all of your going out and coming in to your house and working in your yard and all the things that you do with your life, these are the things that stand prominent in your life. But even within these pleasant places where these lines have fallen to you, there are other lines that have likewise fallen. Like David, some of you were born into and raised under a Christian heritage. Many of you children have the blessing of hearing about Jesus Christ and your parents teaching you about Him from day to day. You have many blessings in your life. You have many opportunities. Some of you have success and prosperity with your work, and you've had that throughout much of your life. You have education. You have work. You have means. You have opportunities and comforts in life. You have health. You have food. You have freedom. And to a large degree, you have much fun about your life. Your life is not as bad as it is for others. It's not as bad as it could be, and it's certainly not as bad as it really should be under a just God. Why is it then that you have all of these blessings and opportunities and joys for your life? Is it not what accounts for this is that the lines have fallen to you in pleasant places? I gather that you could fill out these lines throughout today as you just think on your own life and what it is before God. You can add to this list that I've just started to jot down for you. But is that really so, you say? Is it really that way, you ask? My life, you say, is hard. It has hard problems and pain to it. And so what is all this about the lines falling in pleasant places? It seems to me, you might say, that the Lord has His lines to fall on me as if they are electric wires that have fallen from the telephone poles in a storm. I don't see it this way. I find it hard to see about my life, even my Christian life, that these are pleasant places. Some of you have known poor employment. Others of you maybe have few friends in life. Some have known divorce. Some have known no marriage. Some have been cheated out of something in life. Desires in life are still left unfulfilled, and there's no chance in sight, it seems, that they will be fulfilled. Some of you are grieving the death of a dear one. Your family has much turmoil, maybe, over your Christianity. Your health, perhaps, is poor and failing. Your ends don't meet in life. And you may look at this and say, how can the Word of God be true that the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places? How can I then say, indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me? It seems that God would then talk to you and me, much in the way that he did to Cain, much in the way that he did to Jonah, or that he did to Job. It's as though God might say, do you see exactly where those lines really are placed? Do you see the layout of the land of your life? Do you not need a survey to tell you how things really are? Do these lines, are you looking at them as if they are limiting you from blessing? Or do they in fact keep you in my blessing? Do you really understand the lines, where and how they are? Do you see correctly? Do you know the resources that are under those property lines? Am I keeping you from some good, God would say, by these lines? Or is it as a matter of fact that I'm keeping you from some evil or misery that you just don't see? By faith, we must always conclude, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. They're pleasant places. We run the risk of impugning God. God is always good, we hear, all the time. God is likewise always wise, all the time. To you who believe on his Son, he is always a father to you, all the time. All the time. And so by faith, you can and you must say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Perhaps the poor employment is so that you'll be poor in spirit. Maybe it's the case that the few friends in life are ensuring far better confidences for you. Maybe it's the case that you were cheated out of something that would have really not protected you from greater misery if you had had it. Maybe the divorce, maybe the death is to know something more of the pain that Jesus endured and suffered so that you don't have to suffer that way. Maybe it's so that you'll better know the healing that he can bring to you in the midst of your suffering and grief. Maybe the family turmoil is for your clearer witness for a time, which will make for their salvation forever. Do we really understand the survey? Do we see the lay of the land as it is to God? By faith we can say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. God's measuring lines have fallen where they have. They may not mean what you think they do, but many people could tell you that if it weren't for their alleged telephone pole wires, they would not have come to know the depths of God. They wouldn't have come to know the blessings that there were found. God had surprised them by his grace and goodness, an unexpected child later in life, a miscarried child earlier in life, a disabled child throughout their life, no child for all their lives. This is just one instance. People will tell you that even there in miseries, it is true, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. That's God's tool. It may be for us that we would wish he kept it in the tool shed, but God's taken it out, and he said, here is the lay of the land. And so endeavor to say then, in all your hardships, through all your miseries and all of your suffering, in all of your grief, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. God, give me eyes to see the survey as he's laid it out. You know, in youth, children learn to stay within the lines when they color. Maybe some of you youngsters know exactly what I mean. It's a good thing that youth learn to color in the lines. As much as we want them to be creative and to see that they can go outside the normal way of thinking and they can try and experiment and do all these creative things that God means for them to do, it's good also to learn to color and stay within the lines. For children who learn that, you will better learn to distinguish the importance of boundaries. Good boundaries, bad things. It orders their thoughts to the reality at hand that there's such a thing as law, and that boundary is pretty firm, and you don't want to go beyond that. That's what you're going to need for your soul's good when you come in your life to hardships. It's good for children to learn to color within the lines. It's good for adults, too. When you're tempted to be creative with your unpleasant lot, and you risk going beyond the bounds of faith, David's words will help you to say, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places." So this is God's measuring by lines. Secondly, though, there is your marveling. And these things go together much like milk with cookies. There's a cause and there's an effect to these things. You have that delicious cookie, you need the glass of milk. God has measured as he has. You and I must marvel as we're privileged. The lines have fallen to me. That's the cause. And so your marveling is seen in the words, "Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me." That's the effect. Verse 5 and 6. God is gracious, and we are glad. Christ has provided for us through his death and resurrection, and so we praise him. God has measured in such a way that you and I should marvel at the wisdom of God in measuring as he has. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. Not only to God, but to me. As you know, this is challenging, however. Do you find it easy to marvel at God with his providence in your life? We've already covered and opened this already. But do you find yourself challenged by that? Doesn't that come to you on a given day throughout many circumstances and say to you, so are you going to marvel over God for the way these lines have gone? I find that challenging many times. Is there any help for marveling and moving that along? I think two of those briefly could come from the text. Notice, first of all, that there's a distinction between the lay of the lines and the Lord himself. The Lord is, in a sense, distinct from the lot, though he is the portion of my inheritance. Verse 5. This was an important distinction for Israel a long time ago. Only some of them grasped it, which is why they were expelled from the land, which is why they were sent into captivity, even 70 years worth for the southern tribes. They thought that those lines of the property of the lot was the main point in God measuring. And they were all excited over the survey that they had one, and that it was laid out with such accuracy and beauty. But that was not the point of God's measuring. The point of God measuring was Jesus Christ. That's what the whole point of the survey was. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and cup, verse 5. And so verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Verse 8, I have set the Lord continually before me. Not the property lines, not the land within those property lines. And so verse 7, therefore, because of the Lord, my heart is glad and my glory or my mood rejoices. It's because of the Lord. It's the Lord that is the point in all the lay of the land. There is a relation, there's a connection between God's measuring then and your marveling. The psalmist shows you that if you see Christ in all of God's measuring throughout your life, there's a marvel to God that it's Christ. The measuring is for the marveling. This means then that you and I should set our eyes not much on the physical, but the spiritual. We don't set our eyes much on the earthly, but on the heavenly. We don't set our eyes much on the temporal, but on the eternal. We don't set our eyes much on the visible things, but the invisible things. Things that will last forever and cannot be overcome. Isn't that what explains the brokenness of the world? They're set with their hope on these things. They're people that are all about food. In clothing, as our Lord reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount. They're all about houses. They're all about actual property as the be-all and end-all. They're all about entertainments. They're about earthly inheritance. They're about landscaping and what really looks good to futile senses and fallen sensibilities. But we're enamored with. We marvel at the things of God. The gospel, his grace to sinners like you and me. You and I must look higher than our lines. We must look to the Lord of those lines, and that's what the psalmist is setting forth to you for your true happiness in life and even after death. It's all about Jesus Christ. Which leads us right into a second one. That the psalm and its contents become of optimal encouragement to you when it's considered that Jesus is the speaker in the psalm. It's not really about David. Oh, it is for a little wallet-sized picture of the great picture, the clear picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the speaker in the psalm. We know this because he explained it that way throughout the Gospels. We know this because the apostles preached this psalm in the New Testament when they spoke especially of verse 10 as being fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 13, they're preaching that this is about Jesus. He is the person of the psalm. But I say even further as they are, he is the speaker of the psalm. The I, the first person singular in Psalm 16, that's Jesus. This is Jesus who is here talking. And in view of all, say, throughout the psalm, it's seeing his relation to the measuring lines. He's looking at the survey. And he's contemplating his own life. He says, verse 2, that indeed the Lord is his Lord, and apart from the Father, he has no good. As for the saints, or literally the holy things, which could be the ordinances, it could be the people, but whatever these holy things are in the earth, it's often translated as the majestic ones, the saints. These are the people in whom is all my delight. It's Jesus loving you as the people he'd love by the gospel. And in that, then, the sorrows of idolatry and other gods. He's not going to participate and go beyond the boundaries. He's going to stay in the lines. He's going to obey God. He's going to fulfill the law. He's going to live up to everything that his own inheritance was as a man. And so the Lord is the portion of my cup. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Throughout his life, He blesses the Father. He sets the Father continually before him. And therefore, as he would face the cross, my heart is glad, verse 9, my glory rejoices, my flesh also will dwell securely. Not merely securely in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, but securely because it was impossible that death would hold the Prince of Life. He would not see corruption and undergo it. The Father would raise him from the dead. And so verse 10, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me in the resurrection and in the ascension the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, where Christ now sits, pleasures forevermore. Do you see that this psalm is about Jesus Christ? And so when you look at your life with all of the miseries and the hardships and the things that you face, you can take much encouragement knowing that Jesus faced it in worse ways than you do. He went to the cross. And in all of where the lines had fallen to him, even at the dark place at Calgary, and at Golgotha, those lines were pleasant places. Just look at what God did in laying the lines there. And so you have to see that this is of great encouragement to you and me, that if Christ has overcome the hard things that the survey reveals, that indeed it's a beautiful heritage to him. Pleasant places where these lines have fallen. Would Jesus say, in terms of all that he went through for you and for your salvation, I don't think the lines have fallen well. What a sad lot it is that I've inherited. How could I possibly have this inheritance, this piece of property? Look at all the troubles about it. Why would I say my heritage is beautiful to me? Can you imagine Jesus saying that about you? Would he go to the ends of the cross and the tomb for such people that he supposedly loves? No, Jesus says with brimming joy that these are the saints, the holy ones in the earth, in whom is all my delight. And so when you're discouraged about the property lines, where they've fallen, what they entail or enclose, you have to see that Jesus has said and is saying by his Spirit still, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I've had these people, and it seemed that they were so far away from me, and the lines of grace worked in such a way that it came and it included them one day in the preaching of the gospel. And there was another one that was way far adrift at sea. It would seem in no man's land of an ocean of oblivion. And yet the lines went all the way to include them in that sound place. Jesus has included things that are good things in wise ways. And so what is true for Jesus is then true for you and me who believe on him. You look at all the dark things of life, all the things you may not know. Indeed, my inheritance is beautiful to me. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Maybe you're here today and you've been grumbling at God. Maybe you've been discontent, embittered against God for things about your life. God be gracious, merciful, and kind. And help you to see in his wise ways, to see that he knows best, and he's working all things together for your everlasting good, so that you can and ought by faith to say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. That is Jesus' testimony from heaven, now by his word. And so we again give thanks for a divine tool shed, the lines that God has so placed for us in pleasant places, on a beautiful heritage that Jesus is to us as our Lord and the portion of our everlasting inheritance. God has so measured our lives by these lines. Let us then marvel at him for the way he has so measured and included us in his people. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we've heard these things from this song and seen how we should see it with new eyes through the Lord speaking this word for himself and about us, and that we now can say by faith these things concerning our own lives in Christ, Lord, make us to see things better, clearer, with a sense of contentment, with thankfulness, even with joy in knowing that you have our best everlasting good in mind with our lives. And so as we've heard, we pray that we might treasure, we pray that we might see things as they are. And Lord, as we go about and do our going out and coming in again, that we would each day say that the lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. Give your blessing on this word we've heard, and help us as we continue to worship and live. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.